I want to put together two verses in your mind. Proverbs 5:3, this is Solomon speaking, giving advice to the young man about keeping away from the Gentile woman. He says, "The lips of an adulteress drip honey. Her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she's bitter as wormwood and as sharp as a two-edged sword." So the lips of an adulteress, the lips of a bad woman, drip honey, and her mouth is sweeter and smoother than oil. Right, put that together with his words to his Egyptian girlfriend in Song of Solomon chapter 4, verse 11. He's just said, Song of Solomon 4, 9, "You've ravished my heart." And he says it twice, "You've ravished my heart with one of your eyes. Your lips, O my spouse, O my woman, O my beloved, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under your tongue. Your lips drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under your tongue." Wait a minute. Is this not a flat, absolute, total contradiction? He is warning the young Israelite man to be careful of the Gentile woman, because her lips will drip honey and her mouth is smoother than oil, but in the end she's bitter as wormwood, and her feet go down to death and her steps lead straight to Sheol, to the grave. But then Solomon, at the very same time, pretty much as he's writing this, tells his Egyptian girlfriend that her lips drop as the honeycomb, honey and milk are under your tongue. Well, I think that Solomon was given wisdom early in his reign when he asked for it, and he wrote it down in the book of Proverbs. But it was also at the beginning of his reign that he's messing around with Egyptian and Gentile women. And it's at that time that he has his romance with this girl that he writes about in the Song of Solomon. How can it be that someone who had so much knowledge of God actually consciously went the opposite? He consciously, it seems, did the very opposite of what he himself was teaching. It really was a case of do as I say, but not as I do. Well, you know, he says in Proverbs 5 verse 4, "But in the end, she's as bitter as wormwood." And he basically says that this has come true of him in Ecclesiastes 7:26, when he says that he'd rejected wisdom, and he, in the end, had found that women for him, these Egyptian Gentile women, were indeed as bitter as wormwood. That's what he found. But he writes that, as I say, at the end of his life in Ecclesiastes, when he's just nihilistic, his heart's been turned away from God by his wives. Well, we need to take a warning here, because clearly enough you learn from that what you probably know from your own experience, that the more you know something, the more you want to do it or not do it. The more you know something's wrong, the more you want to go and do it. Yeah. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, typical. You can eat all the fruit of the trees. In fact, the command is eat, eat of all the fruit of all the trees. Go on, eat, but not of that one in the middle. It is so true, as I'm sure we have often all remembered and reflected, that you put a child in a room and say, "Look, there's a red box here. And do what you want, but don't touch it." The child will get closer and closer and will touch it. This is just how we are. And so the more we know what is right and what is wrong, in a sense, the more we are tempted to do exactly what we know is wrong. And at times there are high-flying spiritual leaders, pastors, priests, and so forth, who are found guilty of having done terrible sexual things. And what irks everybody is that then people find their sermons, or whatever, lectures or whatever they've given, where they are condemning left, right and centre, doing the very thing that they've been doing on the quiet for years. And people are amazed. And of course it's very bad, and we should retain our sense of shock at it. But in another sense, psychologically, it is not so surprising. Because if you know these things are wrong, well, the tendency is to go do it. As I say, Adam and Eve, forbidden fruit in the garden. And they there were every man. It's no good saying, "Oh, Eve, what do you do that for? I wouldn't have done that." Yes, you would. That's the point. Adam was every man, and Eve was every woman. That's the point. And so What can we do about this? Well, the word must be made flesh in us, as it was, of course, in the Lord Jesus. There has got to be a personalizing of God's truth. And this is where all academic, theological approaches to God's truth and the Bible, one needs to be careful of, because they can remain on the level of pure theory. That, of course, it is fascinating for some people who are wired in that way to study the Bible and to academically sift through interpretations, find the true interpretation, have the truth about this or that passage or theme in the Bible. But if that's what it stays, that is sterile and meaningless. It has got to be personalized, absolutely. My wife and I were talking not so long ago to a woman who was studying a PhD level theology, and she had been at a theological conference near to where we live, and she had come to stay with us rather suddenly. And we wondered what quite had happened at the conference, and she said, well, I'm giving up on my PhD. I'm giving up on theology. And we said, oh, why is that? And she said, well, I was at a theological conference, and we were all staying in student hostel. I said, it was awful. I had to sit down in the lobby, just drinking coffee half the night, because the woman that I was sharing a room with was just in and out with different men in the bedroom all night long, the whole conference, and the whole thing was like totally out of hand. And she said, you know, we're here, well, for what reason? To study. Well, she said, you know, it wasn't her first degree. She'd studied other things. She said, you know, I know students alike, but this is absolutely crazy. Why this total lack of engagement with any of these wonderful principles that are there in the Bible on a personal level? And, yeah, you see, this is the Solomon syndrome, as I would call it. And we are all human, and we all have this awareness that this is wrong, but the more that awareness is there, the more we are likely to want to do it. Again, think Adam and Eve. I think the little child, the toddler in the room with the red box that he's not allowed to touch. This is us. And it requires humility to recognize that. And to recognize that we are given God's truth because he loves us and wants us to use it to draw closer to him. But whilst you see it as dry truth for its own sake, as if it's important to get it right about this or that, well, you've got to be careful that you're nothing more than sort of OCD or whatever, that I have to have the truth about this. I must know what this verse means. I must know what that means. You know, why do you have this need to have this truth? You see, if it's just truth for its own sake, well, I think you're very likely to fall into this problem of major hypocrisy, because the more you know, the more you're likely to fail. But once you personalize it, that, wow, this is for me, this is God's voice to me, this is God leading me further, then we will, as David says, run in the way of your commandments.